Welcome back to another episode of Don't Quote Us. I'm your host, Jasmine, alongside my co-host, Roya, because Mariam is not here. Season two, baby. Mariam is at she's going to a Phineas concert, Ferb's sibling, but Billie Eilish's sibling.
Just to make that clarification, I know lots of people tend to get confused, but...
Yeah, those two siblings too, like, they get confused easily.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, and I'm pretty sure she also has initiation for her sorority.
Yeah,
are we allowed to say that?
Just believe it? I don't know. Maybe it's like top secret. What if we get...
Shoot, yeah, I don't know the rules.
We get taken out tonight because we said that.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, loose lips sink ships.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so it's just Jasmine and I today.
And before we start recording, we're like, what the heck are we going to talk about? And Roya found this incredible website of philosophical questions that we can debate.
I just want to say something. Like, whenever Jasmine and I have an episode to ourselves, it always goes back to grade 12 history. Always.
We're just two little history nerds.
Yeah, we are. And I hate to admit it.
But, so, you know, you just gotta embrace yourself.
Because originally this episode was gonna be inspired by this Vox video I watched about how Switzerland is, like, how they stay neutral and, like, they're an unpenetrable, like, country or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But then I was like, no, I won't go down the history.
No one's gonna listen to that.
Yeah, so we spun it into, like Jasmine said, philosophical questions.
And this isn't like the, like, oh, does God exist, or the trolley question. These are, like, actually thought-provoking questions. Kay. So, listen along.
I think the trolley question, when you spin it in different directions, is pretty entertaining.
It is, but, like, I feel like it's kind of overrated.
Okay, fair enough.
Like, I hear it too much, but these are interesting. And if you're listening, follow along. What would you do?
Yeah, form your own thoughts.
And don't judge us, okay? Because we're good people at heart. These are tough questions. There is no right answer. That's why it's philosophical.
Guys, please be nice.
Guys, don't hate us.
Don't hate us.
Say we're gonna kill somebody. Anyways.
don't hate us when we justify murder. Please.
please.
Please, we're good people.
I do charity work.
I donate.
But anyways, Roy, you want to start us off with the first question?
Okay. So the first question on the list that we liked, and I'm pretty sure it's the first question when you search up philosophical questions, it's the first thing you get from, I think it was parade.com. First one is happiness just chemicals flowing through your brain or something more?
Dang. This is tough. This one's really tough because
continue.
It made me think of the book we had to read in high school where
we're so fucking lame.
No, but you know that book where you have those people who just, like, experience pleasure every day?
What book?
I don't remember. I remember it was really disturbing, but I don't remember who it was written by.
What grade?
Grade 12. It was like, oh, dang. I need to Google it right now.
Hold Clockwork on. Orange?
No, not Clock.
We only read three books.
We didn't read it. Other people did. Pleasure. Constant. I'm scared.
Constant. Jasmine's searching up naughty things right now. I was going to say, while you search, I was going to say, you know, this question's hard to answer because we're both bad at science.
coming up.
What other book? Jasmine, you spun it into another question.
Oh,
so frick. Our class didn't read it?
We didn't read it. Some other classes did, though. And it was basically this book. You know what? No, let's scratch the book reference.
No, Jasmine, fuck you. Like, I have to know what book it was.
I don't know what to Google. I'll Google it later. But scratch it. Something that more people will understand. WALL-E. Okay, do you remember the fat people in space?
I did not watch WALL-E.
Okay, but it's this one, I remember the reference, so it's okay. Uh-huh. It's basically, we ruined the world because we, like, destroyed it with climate change, whatever. So people live in space now, and they are, like, sitting in these chairs, and they are fed, what they're fed they're just constantly watching TV. They like get everything they want and they don't move. So they're like super fat.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like given everything needed to survive. But are they happy? I don't think they're happy, even though they have all the like comforts.
So how does is happiness just chemicals flowing through?
I don't think so. Because I think that the people living in space, that's chemical happiness.
Oh, it's not genuine happiness.
It's not real.
Oh, thanks, WALL-E. Wait a minute.
Yeah, WALL-E's a freaking deep movie, bro.
Because the first thing I... Thanks for your insight on WALL-E. In our next episode, we will do a 30-minute deep dive on the movie and its significance in the modern Pixar age.
The modern age.
No, the first thing I thought about when I heard this question, I don't know if this technically answers the question, but I was like, wow, like when I'm walking outside, you know, blue sky, sun's shining down on me, where it's like cold enough where you can wear a coat, but like the sun makes it hot, so you're like happy. I was like, is that just chemicals though, or am I genuinely just happy?
I think that is genuinely happy. Like, because you're not, I don't think anything is chemically happening.
No, but then doesn't my brain associate, like, wow. Like, doesn't my brain make me happy?
For me, I thought chemically, like, I just associate with drugs and, like, alcohol.
Oh, no, I'm pretty sure they mean, like, oh, like, the chemicals in your brain that generate happiness or whatever. Jasmine, why did we pick this question? We don't understand science.
Okay, but, like, the way I think of it, it's, like, people who, like... Okay, Justin Bieber, for example. I watched his YouTube documentary.
Justin, stop pulling up, like, these case studies.
And he was, like, doing drugs all the time. And he was, like, living the life, technically, but he wasn't happy.
Yeah, so does that mean the chemicals weren't...
I feel like he was chemically happy. Because, like, when you do... Oh, okay, it's like a rock star, right? You do all these shows, you get so much adrenaline, everyone loves you. But they're also super depressed. Because they don't have happiness, they just have whatever chemicals.
So happiness isn't just chemicals, it's the things around you?
I think so. I think it's like...
Wouldn't it just be like a loophole where it's like, oh, the things around you generate...
The chemicals
to make you happy.
But I feel like... Okay, that's why people meditate, right? Oh, like they want to find inner peace.
Oh. Yeah,
because I know that's why people meditate, is because they don't... The point of meditation is for you to be able to be level-headed in good and bad. Like, when it's good, you're not like, oh my god, this is awesome. And when it's bad, you're not
like... You can, like, control.
Yeah. It's to find, like, the balance. Stable line. What's the heart line?
Bro, I don't know, Jasmine.
The whatever line. Like, a steady... They want to be steady in their entire life, but I don't know if that's happiness, because then they're not, like, super joyful. I don't know. Fuck this question. Next question.
Okay, next question. this one's my favorite one. The next question is having a big ego a negative or a positive trait?
Rui, what do you think?
Okay, when I first read this, I was, like, instantly positive. But then I have to clarify where, like, I feel like when we hear big ego, there's, like, a big, like, not misconception, but, like, we all have, like, our own, like, a bad connotation of, like, when you say big ego. Like, you know, it's, like, I feel like, there's other ways to describe it. Like, the way that I feel like we grow up learning or, like, hearing about it is, like, oh, like, a narcissist. Like, someone who, like, doesn't care about other people. Someone who, like, only cares about themselves. Yeah, cocky. Like, you have all these, like, negative things. But I think when you kind of think about it, like, in a more positive light... You know, like, a big ego could just also be someone who has lots of confidence, or, like, who's good at, you know, like, I don't know, like, I don't know where I was going with that.
Like, sure of themselves.
Yeah. So I feel like, that's why when I originally thought about it, I was like, oh, like, it's positive, you know, like, having, like, sort of, like, being proud. But then when you go on, like, how we've learned about it, it's like, oh, being proud is, like, showing off, you know?
Yeah, it's... Yeah.
But I think, like, in general, like, is having a big ego a negative or positive trait? It depends on how you interpret a big ego. Yeah.
I feel like having a big ego is like a balloon, right? And the bigger your balloon is, the easier it is to pop.
Ooh.
So I feel like if you have a big ego, you're super sensitive.
So the bigger your ego gets, like, the more sort of, like, you're, like, on thin ice.
Yeah. It's kind of like what you said, like, they're confident, like, they carry themselves differently, but I feel like if it's kind of like if one person makes one comment, they crumble.
I also think it's a whole thing where you said something that made me think of something. Even like having a big ego translate different to like other to different people, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
For example, it's like one person who's in front or with someone who has like a big ego might take it differently than someone who like doesn't care as much, you know? Like, I think it like,
yeah, if I say like, oh, your hair's so ugly, I would never say that, but like your hair doesn't look so good today, someone with a big ego might get really hurt by it, but someone who doesn't care be like, yeah, so what?
Yeah. And I think, or no, like even that, it's like, for example, let's say me, I have like a decently big ego, the way I like carry myself translate differently to different people. So it's like some one person, and that it goes back to the idea of like how you interpret someone having a big ego or an ego. Like someone could take it as me being like this way, someone can take it as me being confident.
Oh, someone would be like, oh, Roy is super like sure of herself, but this person like Roy's a bitch.
Yeah, so it's like it's so
subjective.
Yeah, because I think, and like I said, I think a huge thing goes into how it's like taught and like sort of like passed down through literature. Because I'm pretty sure ego has never been used, like,
in a good way.
Yeah, like, maybe it has, like, maybe in all, like...
But I don't know, I've never heard ego in a good way.
Yeah, but then, when you think about ego, it has all the elements of, like, positive traits, too.
We're saying ego so much, like, I've never said ego this many times. It sounds so weird. Ego, ego, ego.
But yeah, that's, like, my take on it. Because, like, I feel like for every bad... like an adjective you can add to ego, there's like a positive counterpart.
So for example, I just like humility. Like when you're humble and grounded, like I can relate to you more than when you're like, I'm the best and you suck. Okay,
insecure much?
Next question: have we become less happy in this age of technology? I 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000% believe we are less happy.
Explain. Elaborate.
Okay.
Are you going to bring up WALL-E?
No. Maybe. Actually, WALL-E fits into it because they're all technology.
Okay, wait, no. I think our next challenge during this is how can we fit WALL-E? How can we fit WALL-E in every single question?
Okay,
did WALL-E have a big ego?
I don't think WALL-E did. He was in love with another robot, which, first of all, how does a robot have feelings? I guess that's...
that's its own philosophical question.
Yeah, wow. What if... like, I honestly think WALL-E is the most philosophical Pixar movie.
So I think we should do a deep dive on WALL-E next episode.
But what I was going to say is I think delayed gratification is so much better than instant gratification. And I feel like technology gives you instant, constantly.
But then if we were to take, like... but then have we adapted to it where if you were to take it all away, I don't know where I'm going with that.
Like we would not survive kind of thing. But yeah, the question is, are we less happy?
But no, but since we built up to it, we don't know how it feels to live any other way.
True.
So but... it's like in essence, it's like in theory, it's like, yeah, like instant like gratification, instant happiness is like not that great. But then do we even know a life without it?
I feel like we are...
Because I can't say with full certainty, with my full chest,
yeah.
I was like, oh, I'd be happy without technology because I don't know a life without it. And it's so this whole thing, we're idealizing it.
Have you ever, like, gone on a trip where you've unplugged? Or, like, no? When I do, I feel so much better. Like, okay, here's the thing.
But no, I just love fighting with you, so
okay, no, that's the point. We're supposed to fight. We can't have the same answer.
I think the thing is time. It's like you say, oh, like I've been on trips without technology, but at the back of your head you still have it,
like
and it's like
it's still there, like my phone is still there.
Yeah, and it's like this whole age of technology, how did you go on this trip?
Like booking it online, is that what you mean?
Yeah, booking online, going on this like pretty well-crafted airplane, you know, this all goes into just age of technology.
Okay, I get that part. But what I mean is
like,
where was I going with that?
Like phones and like technology, like that sense of age of technology.
I feel like the world is moving too fast. Mm-hmm. Like when I text you, I expect an answer. mm-hmm. within like an hour. If you don't text me in a day, I'm like, oh my God, where did she go? But back in the day, I write you a letter 3 times a year. You don't have the pressure to answer me.
But you've never had to like write a letter.
No, I'm saying the concept of like, I don't have to rush
to do it,
to do anything.
Yeah, so it's like, but I feel like that's like a different argument where it's like, oh, like our, like the way we get happiness is sort of much more instant now.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean we're less happy.
I don't think it's the same level. I of feel happiness. Like, yeah, because
then,
I feel
but
like
then it's like, oh, I send you a letter. You take like a year to respond and like that, is that happiness?
No, I'm saying so then I have more, like, I am myself. I'm not answering every person every other second. Like, I have time to be with myself and be with,
being,
like...
Is being with yourself because, really happiness?
Because the way I see it, like, okay, for example, when you're having a conversation with your friends mm-hmm. and then they start texting other people who aren't there, I'm like, there are people in front of you who you can be talking to, but you're talking to someone who is not here right now.
Oh.
You know what I mean? It's like you're not living in the moment.
But new philosophical question. Does living in the moment is like our peak? You know, is like is that like the best way to attain happiness is living in the moment?
As Master Oogway says in Kung Fu Panda.
You're good.
I think he said
oh, you don't even know the quote.
Oh, the past. I don't know. I know the punchline is the present is a gift. That's why it's called the present, right? Because, okay, you know what it is? Technology makes us live in the future.
Yeah, but like, for example, if I'm talking to you and I'm talking to someone else, I'm still living in the present.
No, but you're texting someone else. So you are not fully in this conversation. You're halfway out with someone who is not there.
But I'm in a present conversation with someone else.
But like,
I just love fighting you.
No, this is fun. This is interesting because we have really different perspectives on this.
Because for me, it's like my whole thing is like it's not that. Like I honestly have no thoughts on like, are we less happy in age of technology? I just like my whole like thinking behind it, or like my whole rationale is like, I can't say we're less happy because mm-hmm. I have nothing to compare it to.
I also think of like the social media, you're constantly finding something better. Like if you're looking at like online dating, mm-hmm. I feel like people aren't happy because they're with someone and then they see, oh, this girl's like even more pretty. Why am I with this person? And you're just constantly trying to get the better one. But like back in the day, you had one girl in the town. And she was the prettiest thing. But like now you have like these unrealistic standards for how people should behave and how they should look. And you're constantly unsatisfied because there's always something better and you always see it on social media.
Mm. So I think when looking at this question, first you have to answer the first philosophical question with what is happiness?
What is happiness? Yeah, okay.
It's like, I'll there's just no like reference point. And like,
that's
I feel like-
That's true. No one knows.
For example, if we were on the flip side of someone who like you know, grew up with this age of technology, then, you know, it's kind of different. Because mm-hmm. then I think you can bring valid points. But I don't know. Like, I really, like, I'm stumped.
The thing is, like, I'm like, oh, were people back then happier? And I can't answer that because people back then lived in awful conditions.
Yeah. So it's so hard because, like I said, it's like we can't compare it to anything. Like, even if back how it's being portrayed or like literature, all that, but it's like you don't know the lived experience. So it's like it's hard to say. Like, maybe in certain aspects, life has become, you know, like more quick, more like, like in a way like globalized, like all these mm-hmm. like standards are high, but in a sort of bigger sense I was like, what is like, where's the happiness, you know, like where, what can we say is, what can we say is more and what can we say is less?
Because like if you look at the world, where this is the most peaceful we've ever been, knock on wood, right? Yeah. In human history, this is the most peaceful era. People are not dying from diarrhea like medicine. Yeah, so like in that case, yes, we are like, but are we happier that we live to 80? Does that make us happy?
That's another question.
Like, I don't want to be having kids at 14, but I also don't know if I want to live till I'm 80. That's quite old.
Those are just a can of worms.
Yeah, right? And then these people get so old, and then they have, what, dementia and all these issues, but we have the technology to keep them alive. But are they happy?
Well, sure.
This is a tough question.
I know.
Nervous laugh.
Like, this episode, we're just going to be going in circles. Oh, man. People are going to be, like, itching their head. They're like, we can just settle on a point. But I think that's a whole thing with philosophical questions. Is that
you can branch off.
Yeah, they branch off, and they put you in, like, a whole loop of, like the same idea, just said in different ways.
Yeah. Because, like, modern medicine is incredible. People are living longer, healthier. I don't know.
Yeah. Dang.
But I was thinking technology more like
phones, laptops.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. And I just don't like how instant everything is. Like okay, on like Instagram or TikTok or Twitter, all these things, like they compared it to a slot machine because every time you refresh, there's new stuff for you to consume. But I feel like you watch 100 TikToks and the happiness you achieve isn't that high. You're kept busy. You're kept like
engaged. Like entertained. Yeah.
Entertained for like 3 seconds each video. But I don't think if you add it up, you're that happy.
But then what's like the counterpart? Like what would you be doing instead?
Yeah, that's the thing. But like
spending time with friends.
But like
but you then think we live continue.
Productive hobbies. Like if you knit a scarf. When you're done the scarf, you're like, oh my gosh, look what I just did after an hour of knitting. But after an hour of TikTok, what do you have to show for it?
Cool facts and knowledge that you've learned.
So. Did you know the ants?
but I think there's a whole thing, for example, with productive hobbies. It's like they're productive, but in a way, I feel like sometimes they make you feel like you're doing work. Whereas like,
yeah, that's the problem.
Where TikTok, it's or like with other social media, it's like, oh, like I'm spending time relaxing or I'm spending time like, so it's like, there's so many. Oh, you can look at it in different ways.
Yeah, but then and that's like for example, I feel like the wrong mentality.
Yeah, that's the wrong. But some people can't pick up these productive hobbies.
Yeah.
Some people don't have access to some of these productive hobbies or like the means to continue it. Yarn is expensive.
Yeah. Okay, but up. Like a drawing a picture, and you could be like, look at what I drew. The thing is, I think
some people.
Sorry, continue.
No, go.
I think the problem is we live in a time where if you're not productive, you're being lazy. I don't think that's the problem. I don't think the hobby is the problem. I think our mentality is the problem. Like, if you spend 2 hours knitting, you don't have to finish a scarf. You could just knit. But if you didn't finish the scarf, you're like, I just wasted 2 hours. I could have been doing this. And I feel like that's the wrong thing, the wrong way to look at it.
Because that was my whole dilemma for this past month with all my work. It was like that whenever I wouldn't be working on like all the projects and essays I have to do, I'd feel bad.
Yeah, same.
And then,
what am I doing sitting here? I could go work.
And then, lots of people, whenever I tell them how many jobs I have, they're always like, why do you do that much? Like, how do you manage it? But my whole thing is, when I'm working, I know that if I was, like, this is my mentality. If I were to be at home, I wouldn't be doing anything, like, useful. Anyway, so that's why it's like, I like going to work. Because even if it does, like, cut down my time on, like, working on school or, like, doing other things or, like, I know, like, realistically knowing myself, if I were to be at home, I wouldn't be doing anything. Like, it's like I could be just, you know, going to work, making money, seeing people.
Yeah, and that's a tough mentality because it's like, but you still need time to yourself to like recharge.
We spun this into a productivity question. Continue. Yeah,
I think the productivity drive that we have is because of technology. Is because you can't not work anymore. Your work is at home. You have your laptop, you have your Zoom, you have the internet. What is your excuse now? Before, you had to go to the office 9 to 5, then you come home and you can't work on it. But now you can do it anywhere at any time. And it's supposed to be convenient. That's the whole point of it. But it actually just makes us more stressed because it's there.
Work
our
is
office
at home?
Is there. Yeah. We it don't is. Have the division anymore.
Damn. And then this was all stemming from the question, have we become less happy in this age of technology? Think about that, everybody.
I feel like online school like burns people out more.
Like, that's the thing, but it's really subjective because I feel more burnt out coming
in
back
in person.
Yeah, because for example, because it depends on the person. For like back in online school, I was really lucky. Like my courses weren't too like hard. You know, mm-hmm. I say that, but it's like it could have been hard for other people, but for me, it was manageable.
Yeah,
and I'm a person who's good at managing time, so having everything sort of given to me and me being able to schedule it myself mm-hmm. with something
you like that.
But then now I have to go to class at certain times. Like when I meet people for projects, we don't do it online anymore since we can go see each other. Like mm-hmm. I have to meet up with people physically though. It's like very demanding. And like, I think my whole thing is like my body's just tired.
Yeah, because so like, you have to like physically go places. So
I physically go to places to learn, and then I have to go either go to the library, go home, and continue to work.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas sort of when I did online, I just banged it all out. Like I was able to set times, but now since I have this schedule, like I have to like find time.
You're not on your schedule anymore.
Yeah, it's like before, like now I have to find time, whereas before I got to make my time.
Wow, dang.
But like I said, that depends on the person, because I know some people really struggled, like during all, like yeah. For example, for us it's second year, during second year. But yeah, like I said, it depends on the person. Wow, next question.
Sure. Was crazy. We did not get to an answer, but that's fine. Yeah. That's philosophy, baby.
Yeah, that's the whole point of this episode. Like I said, in this episode, we will not answer a single question. We will loop around and...
and then go to the next one.
And go to the next one when we're tired.
All right, Roya, which one do you want to talk about?
I'm going to skip one. I really like this one. Do acts of kindness have a motive?
I love this question.
I love this question, too.
Go for it.
For example, I went out for drinks the other night and I was in the bathroom, saw this girl with really nice eyeshadow. And I was like, oh my God, really like your eyeshadow. Like, nice job there.
Yeah.
And then she responded like, oh my gosh, like, I really love your hair. So I like to think that I didn't go into that thinking I'd get a compliment back, but that's sort of what I expected.
Oh, whoa, Brea, that's tough.
Because I went into it just being like, wow, girly has some really nice eyeshadow. But then
so you went in it pure intentions.
But then I came out feeling satisfied because I got a compliment back.
Oh, so you don't know, like, deep subconsciously feel like, I'm going to compliment her just so
that's
I can
the thing.
Get one.
It's like, I'd like to think that I did, for example, in this case, that I did it without a motive. But then I feel like subconsciously I knew I was going to get sort of that, like, gratification back because I knew, like, she would compliment me back.
Dang. Because, like, here's the thing. I don't know about you, but I'm a big believer in karma.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It really does, what's it called? Not control. I feel like control is aggressive, but it does influence the way I think.
Hmm.
Where, like, I'm willing to go out of the way to help someone, and it's I don't think it's out of the purest of intentions.
Yeah, in the back of my head, it's like, if I do something good will happen to me.
Yeah, or if I help this person out, this person will help me out in the future.
Hmm.
I wouldn't be
outwardly
and being like, yeah, like, you owe me for this, but I would be in the back of my head thinking like, I now can count on you.
Yeah, it was like, it, like, in your head you're like, you owe me. You don't say it in your head, but that's how you think of it.
Yeah, I think owe is strong, because I wouldn't say they owe me, but I would know, like, next time I need help, I can ask you, and I won't ask the other person who didn't, you know what I mean?
It's like, you won't feel as bad because you've helped them out before.
Yes, exactly.
And that's the thing, like, do acts of kindness have a motive? I think, like, some people definitely have bad intentions or, like, motives when they help other people out. Mm-hmm. But then I feel like for the regular person, you say no, but then you do.
You do. It's like the YouTuber who films himself giving money to the homeless.
Mm. That has a clear motive. But when it comes
to, is it as clear? Because, like, maybe it's promoting helping homeless people.
But then there's simple acts of kindness, like holding the door for someone.
Oh, that no motive.
That's the thing. Yeah. I think it depends on what the act is.
Oh, like favors, I guess.
So, for example, like, I feel like there's some things where, that is just sometimes just instinct, like holding the door open for someone.
Like decency.
Yeah. What are other ones?
We can't think of any.
Yeah, it's only holding the door.
Oh, if you see an old person on the subway and you let them sit at your spot.
Yeah, like that has no motive.
Yeah, I'm not like, oh, this old person owes me now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
And I think it's another thing, like, for example, with, like, strangers. Like, that whole idea, it's like, I can be nice to a friend and, like, not really have a motive. Or, like, no.
No, you're nice to friends with a motive.
Yeah.
Strangers, no motive, because you won't see them again.
But then I think it goes into do a nice act for a stranger, oh, something randomly good will happen to me. Then the idea of good karma comes in with strangers. So that's how I see it.
And the thing is, like, if I, like, oh, man, that's tough. Act of kindness have a motive. But would you do acts of kindness if you knew, if I told you for a fact karma is not real, would you still be doing acts of kindness?
I would, because it would make me feel better.
Isn't that still a motive?
Oh, yeah. So then I have a motive to, because I think that's a huge thing where it's like we do nice things because we want to feel good about ourselves.
That's a big one.
Like,
or people, example, like, want to look good in front of other people.
Other people. Like, for example, this time last year, exactly, like, a few days ago, my housemate and I were walking downtown, and then this lady asked us to help her move furniture from a store to her car. That's
been a year already?
Yeah, it's been a year.
Whoa.
So it's like, that was an act of kindness. But when we left, we were like, oh, good karma. Like, eh, like, we're such good people. And it's like, wow, we look like good people helping this random lady out.
Yeah,
like that was definitely, because we had to go somewhere, but we had like a motive. We were like, oh, like, yeah, we were nice, but it was like when we were leaving, we're like, oh, pat on the back for us, like, you know.
Damn.
Because it's like, you know, I'm not gonna try to be some like saint who's like, oh no, I just compliment, you know, I just like do this and do that just for the sake of being,
oh yeah, if then, you say that, you're full of shit.
Because then you say, oh, just for being a good person, but you're being a good person for yourself.
Yeah, because you want to look good, you want to be look good to yourself.
And the whole thing is, like, the genuine acts of kindness aren't the ones that you tell people. It's like, I don't tell someone, oh, yeah, I held the door for so many people today. Like, you don't say that.
Yeah.
Or it's like, or for example, if someone drops something near me and I bend down to reach it, I'm not going to tell everyone, like, oh, like, I, like, helped, like, you know, I gave someone their, like, pen that dropped in front of me. But, like, when it comes to, like, big, like, these acts of kindness of, like, helping a lady move for furniture, or like, I don't know, like, meeting someone in the bathroom and giving the compliment, then I tell other people, I'm like, guys, like, this is what happened.
I don't even know what to say to that. Wow.
So going back to the question, do acts of kindness have a motive? I think, yeah.
I say 100 million% yes. And if you think no, you're lying to yourself.
This one I feel like does have a definitive answer. Maybe not like a, oh, this is a correct answer, but I think most acts of kindness do. And like the ones that don't are the ones that we don't consider acts of kindness. Like, I wouldn't consider, like, me holding the door for someone some grand gesture of kindness. It's like, it's like courtesy.
Courtesy. Ooh. That's interesting. That's a different word. But I do think that is, like, if someone dropped a $5 bill and you give it to them, I don't think that's an act of kindness. I think that's just, like, human decency and courtesy.
But then I think that's a whole thing where that is kind of an act of kindness.
I guess it depends what you classify kindness.
Oh, gosh. I don't define kindness. We spent like 30 minutes trying to define happiness in the age of technology.
Oh, Roya, the human race has been trying to define happiness. We still don't know.
But yeah, so all I'm saying, if I give you a compliment, I am being selfish. I expect one back. Yeah, I expect one that's better.
I'm so bad at like I don't compliment people.
I only will give compliments when they're like hyper specific. Because that's
like
how I feel,
eyeshadow, like that is,
yeah, it's like I want to be do something like genuine, or if someone's hair like genuine looks good, I'm like, wow, like, you know, like I'm not the type to give like passive compliments.
Oh, like, I love your shirt.
Yeah.
Shirt is outfit.
Sure. It's like, if I want the outfit, I'm like, wow.
Yeah,
that's real nice.
I'm so bad at giving and receiving compliments. It's like, oh god, every time someone compliments me, like, I feel obligated to compliment them back.
Sometimes I don't. And that's
like,
isn't
it weird if you don't? Like, they're like, oh my god, like, you did so well today. And I'm like, thanks. You didn't? Not, like.
But then it's like, but that's the thing. The whole thing was like, if I respond, then I'm just responding because they did it first.
Yeah. Oh. That's and then because, thing. Like, the worst is when it becomes a compliment, like, train. Like, oh my god, no, you. Oh, I can't. And I'm not complimenting people because, like, they're not doing well. I just feel awkward complimenting in general.
What okay. A fun episode.
So what happens when Miriam's not here? We just
we spin in circles.
Yeah. But the thing is, we're definitely doing this segment with Miriam, too.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because
this is going to be spicy. But, Roya, we're going to do one more question. Okay. And that's it for today. So, what's your final question?
Okay, the final question is, is a wrong act okay if nobody ever knows about it? But then, okay, but then there's, okay, let's not, like, do the obvious where it's, like, oh, if you, like, murder someone.
I was thinking murder, too.
Okay, like, that's, I feel like a wrong, like, we're talking about, like, wrong acts, and I feel like these are kind of minimal, but still mm-hmm. bad. Like, it's not.
I find it tough, because for me, I originally was instantly like, no, if no one knows about it, whatever. But if someone's harmed by it, I still, you know what I mean? Like,
not... I think, yeah, I think when there's a direct human, like, or, like, when there's a direct impact that it has. But then, for example, what if that impact isn't known? Like, let's say...
Oh.
Let's say, like, I'm at work.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like... For example, let's say I'm not supposed to try this, like, sample of gelato. But then me and my coworker... Or then I sample it.
Yeah.
But no one knows about it. Like, is there, like... Is anyone hurt by it?
No, I don't think anyone's hurt by you trying gelato. You could literally do this. Actually, Roy, you could put this into, like... Act on this.
Yeah.
Write your hypothesis. Right, and then
because I think a whole thing is like obviously the scale. Like we're not talking about the scale of the issue of like, oh, you committed this actual crime.
Oh, I was thinking like if I robbed someone of all their money. Because it would obviously they would know about it, right? Because they don't mm-hmm. have money anymore. So then, it's not like, that.
But then like I think it's also the scale if you scale down. If you stole $5 from someone who's rich and they don't notice.
Ooh, okay, Jeff Bezos, wrong? You steal a million. Mm. I'm sure that's a drop in the bucket for him.
Yeah.
Is that wrong? I think in principle it's wrong, but it's I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, it's in principle it's wrong because you're stealing. But, like, when you think of the context, you're like,
this is Robin Hood. This is literally Robin Hood.
You are Robin Hood.
Right? And especially if you steal and give to the poor.
Act of kindness.
That's, oh my God, I never thought about how, like, do you think Robin Hood is in the right?
Ooh.
Because he is donating, which is a good thing, but he's also robbing, which is a bad thing. But he's robbing rich people.
Exactly. Like, all I'm saying, they can't cancel out. He's just a neutral person.
That's the question. Does that cancel out? If you do something good and then bad.
It's sort of like how you prioritize things. Do you think doing the bad thing is worse, or do you think doing the good thing is good? And I think you know, for example, like, there's the questions, like, is the glass half full or half empty? I think you can, like, approach Robin Hood like that. If you think he's a bad person, then it's because... you value, like, you know, like, the bads more. But then when you think of, like, oh, no, he was a good person for giving to people, then you sort of value that kindness. Like, you see that as more important.
Okay, not Robin Hood. Let's put it in a different context. Let's say you have someone in your class who's failing.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't pass this test, they fail the course and have to do it again. And you help them cheat.
Ooh.
Is that good or bad?
Then it goes back to the, in principle, it's bad.
It's bad to cheat.
Because it's bad to cheat. But then you're doing, but then it's good because when I think of the consequences of cheating versus the consequences, like the mental toll that takes on the person for failing, for example, mm-hmm. the financial like burden it might put on them for failing, then I think I'm doing something good because I think when you weigh out the pros and cons, the pros are just much better than having to let them suffer all that.
Mm-hmm. But then what if that person who you helped cheat passes so well and gets a position?
That's higher
like,
than you.
That's not higher than someone who actually deserves it. And, like, they get cut out of the program or something.
Oh, shit.
Right?
Oh, damn.
Like, there's this study done that, like, so many doctors have cheated their tests, like, to get become a doctor. First of all, I do not want to have a doctor who cheated to become a doctor.
For example, in this whole online university thing, everyone's cheating. But
it's
then
like steroids, if you're not doing it, you're last.
But then there's the whole thing where it's like life is open book anyways.
Yes. But I'd still want a doctor who would know things if it was closed book.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, like I don't want a doctor who cheated his way through or her.
Damn. Wait, I thought this was a clear cut or I thought this would be like a kind of easy question.
No, I'm just adding layers.
Is it wrong? Going back to the question, is it wrong if no one knows about it? Because now we know about it.
If no one knew that they cheated to get in, but would you know about it? If you did the act and you're the one who knows and you have to live with the guilt.
I probably wouldn't feel guilty. Because if I'm helping people, then I'm like, is that...
But then at the expense of someone else. Because I feel like any bad action is always at the expense of someone else.
But then there could also be bad actions against a corporation. Like, let's say I'm at a job.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And like it's not like the people around me who are paying for supplies, it's like the right. corporation, the
like Amazon,
yeah, they're being reimbursed by whatever company they're with, and I uh-huh. steal, let's say, like a box of pens.
That is so lame. But yes, okay. that makes sense because it's a small act.
Is that bad? Like,
what if you stealing that box of pens cost someone their job?
But no one knows it. Oh, no. But then what if no one finds out?
I don't know. The tough part is, like, no one knows about it. But, like, the box of pens is still missing. Does no one just realize the box of pens?
But then, you know, it's a big company. Like, does a box of pens that go missing really a big deal? Like, they're just going to buy another box of pens.
Yeah, but, like, you could still be fired for it.
But no one knows about it.
Right. That's the problem. That's so the no problem I'm having it. An issue with. I don't so understand it's like I'm that.
Doing, it's a wrong act, but it's fine because no one knows about it.
Okay, but you're saying a box of pens. Where is it too far? Because we said $1 million.
But now it's an issue of scale.
So you think actions are bad based on scale, not principle?
No, I think actions will always, you know, like in essence, bad acts are bad under principle.
Yes.
But I think the impact they have is dependent on the scale. Where it's like the bigger the stakes are, the more bad, mm-hmm. like, you know, borderline. Like the level that we're at is bad.
Mm-hmm.
But how further bad you get depends on the scale. I don't know y-axis, but I'm sure you guys can picture it.
In my, like, philosophy of human rights and justice class, a point was brought up that, like, I'd never thought about. But it's, like, things in principle can be mm-hmm. good, but in the real world, like, that doesn't exist. Like, if you apply it to the real world, it might not work as purely as it did in principle.
No, and I think that goes back to like the other like questions we had of like we have this whole principle of like all these things, but you know what's in our books and what's in like all this written thing doesn't translate to real life context, and that goes into democracy.
How democracy, we do not want to get to democracy.
How
today.
Democracy does not translate well in lived
That's
experience.
True. Yeah, democracy is okay. Listen, if you told me what what government system you want to live under, I'm saying democracy all day, every day. Like, it's the best out of all of them, but it's not exactly perfect.
Like, it hasn't been executed in the way that it's being sold. It's like false advertisement.
Yeah, kind of. I don't know if this is. I don't. You could debate me on this. I don't think we've seen communism in its proper form, because I feel like the people who try to implement it, they get power hungry.
No, in lots of historical like things I had to do, it's like sort of what's the pros of communism, and there's a lot, but it's just how they were being implemented.
Yes, I think communism is perfect. Like it, okay, not that it's perfect. It's a perfect example.
Tread lightly,
because I think it's a great idea in principle, but I don't think it can ever be applied properly.
Yeah, it can never be applied in the good way sort of it was laid out to be.
Because we're too greedy. We're too, like, no one wants to be equal. People say they want equality, but they don't want equality. They want to be better than others.
Yeah, when you think about equality, in terms of, let's say, like, financial things, that's its own thing. Like, obviously equality for people, but that's never going to happen.
Yeah.
Because
I'm not saying, like, oh, we should be racist, sexist, whatever. But I'm saying, like, I feel like people deep down, they want to be better than the person next to them.
Yeah, because that's how you feel good about yourself. If we're all equal,
I don't like this. This is so depressing.
Then it's like, if we're all equal, then what makes you different than the rest?
Right.
Yeah.
Like in communism, you can't wear blue jeans. You don't have an outfit. In North Korea, you have like 10 haircuts to pick from because you can't be your own person. I think North Korea genuinely right now is the most pure form of communism, and it's a shit show.
So it's not, so it's not like the pure form. It's like communism. That
okay? Maybe not pure form, but it's like
I the feel best like example.
They took it so literally.
But then it's like oh no. Then we're right. Then it's like how what's written on paper will not ever be translated well into how we operate.
Sure. Like because I think again, equality. Like I should treat you with respect. I should treat everyone with equal amount of respect. But should I? If you're some mean people, to me...
If you're racist, I'm not going to treat you with respect.
I'm not treating you with respect versus someone who's like...
But then it's like... If we all had respect for other people, then that person wouldn't be racist. Because they'd have respect for other people.
Right. And they would see us as equal, so they wouldn't be racist because we're equal people.
but then we live in a world where that doesn't
that's not true exist.
So it's like, even if I carry myself saying like I have respect for other people, like equal, like I don't. And the whole thing is like, yeah, you can have respect for other people, but even still, it's like, even if we don't consider, it's like, oh, I have no respect for someone. Like, even if that's eliminated, so where it's like, oh, we all have respect for everybody. Mm-hmm. There's going to be people that we have more respect for.
It's never going to be equal because we're humans and we're not perfect and we're not, and we're emotional. Yeah. You're never, like, I'm not going to look at every single person I meet with the same level of respect.
Yeah. I was like, I'm going to respect my mom more than I respect, like, someone else.
Someone
like,
you don't know.
Yeah. But it's like, I'll still have respect for that person for being, you know, like a person.
Yeah, I'm not going to be like, yeah. I'm not going out being a dick to anyone, but like,
I will have more respect for someone else.
For and certain people, right.
And the thing is, when you change the perspective, that's the same thing as like, oh, not having respect for, or like having respect for people and having no respect for other people, you know? Like, you can just flip it.
Whoa.
Because let's say if I just have borderline respect for, if we all have this like stagnant level of respect, is that respect?
Because it's the same. It's like, if everyone is happy, are we happy?
Yeah.
Whoa, bro. No, I hate that.
Why are we?
Right. What's like, happening? How do you know happiness if you never experienced sadness? Yes.
Like, how do I know that happiness in the modern age is worse than happiness back how many years ago? And the whole thing is like, we don't know. There's a huge question. I think the whole thing in philosophy question, there's a huge question mark where you kind of have to put not some assumption or some like assumption into it.
Philosophy is different for everyone because we all have different experiences.
Yeah, we all have different values, different morals.
So obviously people are going to think differently from us. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I feel like we live in a time where if you do not agree with me on anything, on everything, we can't get along. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's right.
Like, but then that's the thing. There's like morals. Like, if someone doesn't share the same morals and values I have and are sort of like adamantly against it or like, you know, why bother?
For me, it's like, I have morals, values, and I'm not going to like press them onto you, Broya. And I don't want you to press yours onto me. And I feel like, even if I disagree with you on a lot of things, I don't see you as like some sort of like enemy and like, I need to, like, I don't feel like I need to convince you to see my side.
But let's say we both feel strongly about our side. Let's say I love oranges and you love apples.
Yeah. Okay, great. I like this. This is much more PC.
like, can I truly be myself? Like, be myself? Someone who truly loves oranges surrounded by
apple lovers.
Yeah. Like, can I truly get along? It's like, yeah, we can kind of agree. It's like, we like our own things.
Uh-huh.
But wouldn't I be happy with someone who sort of shares that same common interest, who's also an orange lover? It's like an orange juice, apple juice type of thing.
Okay, the way I see it, you love orange juice. And nothing I say to you is going to change the fact that you love orange juice. I love apple juice. Nothing you say to me is going to change the fact that I like apple juice.
What if I'm deadly allergic to apple juice?
Okay, that's different.
Then I can't be with you.
Okay, but then I would, at the party, I would have both. Because I would compromise.
But what if I don't want to compromise? Let's say I still want to be friends with you. Like, I still want to be... Like, I still want to know you, but it's like, I will not have a
sip. You won't come to my house if I serve apple juice.
I will not have a lick of apple juice. Like, what happens?
Okay. Because I feel like you are so set in your ways. Nothing I say is going to change that. And I'm so set in my ways. Nothing I say is going to change that. So I'm not going to bother trying to change your opinion.
But then, here's the beauty of humans. Ready?
Uh-huh.
I like orange juice. You like apple juice. But we like water.
Chocolate milk. Oh, yeah, water.
Yeah.
Exactly. You can find common ground. I think everyone has common ground.
But then, like, this is just apple juice. But let's say, like, but then you can escalate this into other things where it's like, my morals will definitely say no.
Yeah, no. Obviously, there are extremes where I guess I'm just not the person who's going to be trying to convince everybody to think my way.
I won't convince people to think my way, but I expect the people I surround myself with and like have, you know, build friendships with to share similar interests, similar values. And morals I have.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's not something I'm going to push, but it's something I expect out of the people I surround myself with.
Like Timothée Chalamet, like you.
But that's different. That's an interest. Like interest you can put aside.
Yeah.
Because that's sort of, you know, your personal like things where it's like, if I'm interested in oranges, you're interested in apples, then it's fine because like we're both interested. But when it comes to like morals and like values, like I said, I feel like the whole thing is you attract people who share that.
Definitely you have to have shared morals and values.
Yeah.
So I just don't like when people try to like convince others because you have, I don't know your experience, Roya. Maybe you're traumatized by apple juice. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to try to push apple juice onto you. And I don't want you to push orange juice onto me. Because maybe I'm traumatized by orange juice.
So then do we just like push those aside and we're like, okay, let's just drink water. That's it.
And maybe this juice rift doesn't allow us to be close friends, but I don't think it's going to make me look badly on you. I'm not going to look down on you.
But I would look down on you for being a filthy apple juice lover.
Gross. I don't know. I think then that's the internet. You're exposed to everyone's opinion.
Taken, this all stemmed from, is a wrong act okay if no one ever knows about it? Like, Taken, this is what stemmed from.
How did we get here? I don't even know what orange juice apple juice debate.
Jasmine and I have a fun way of not staying on track, but also staying on track.
I feel like I had an idea of what the orange and apple juice metaphor meant. Now but I don't.
It's too like muddy.
Yeah. So let's get out of it.
Yeah. Well, that was our amazing philosophical
question. It was so weird at the end.
What did we do?
Oh man. Also, shout out Maria for editing this episode.
I'll put a bunch of sound effects. Can I?
Go for it.
Okay.
This is Roya's episode. Thanks. Is her like debut as an editor.
I'm a director and editor.
Producer. You're a producer too because you came up with the idea.
Guys, please send me love. And I won't. Please send me acts of kindness that I will not reciprocate. Please.
Because she has a big ego. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Wall-E. If you haven't watched it yet, watch it. My God.
Are you an apple juice lover or an orange juice lover?
Let us know. Leave us a message on Anchor. And also, no one had like an explicit meaning for apple or orange juice. Don't try to, you know.
Don't try to spin this.
Don't try to put words in our mouth. We were strictly talking about apples and oranges.
Yeah. I hate apple juice. Like, in real life, I hate
really?
It.
Really? I love both. So.
Wow. Look at you.
But yeah. It depends on my mood. Anyways.
That was our episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Now I'm kind of embarrassed. Now I'm shy knowing that my name is being attached to this. Kind of shy.
Frozen orange juice lover. Ew. Gross. Anyways, this is what happens when Miriam's not here to guide us and
literally
like circles and circles. But that's kind of funny because when you and Miriam do episodes together, you circle too.
But I think, yeah.
I feel like the third person directs it. We need three people.
Yeah, because I feel like there's always going to be one person who like stops it.
Yeah, and we're like, move on. But we're like still dragging this outro out.
For another 2 minutes? Go us.
See you guys.
Bye-bye.